Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Where healing begins with you, and we're here to support you along the way.
Hello, hello, my amazing listeners.
Okay, for those of you who watch me on YouTube, personally, I would love to just hit record and not have to like actually record my face. But, you know, my business coach strategist says that people like to watch me on YouTube. But I just logged on. I went to hit record and talk to y'all. And my hair is so frizzy today. I'm like looking back at myself, and I just met with like 5 clients. And I never pay attention to myself when I'm with my clients. So if you're watching me on YouTube, you're watching me fix my hair. And it is a frizzy mess. Oh, gosh. Getting ready for summer in Texas. Summer in Texas does not do well for my naturally curly hair. And it's a little frizzy today. Anyways, sorry, I digress. I was talking with a friend of mine, and she does this work too. She's a colleague and a friend. And we were talking about our emotions and just our life and emotions that are coming up. She made a comment about her emotion she was feeling, judging it a little bit. I shouldn't feel this way, right? That should. And I just said to her, I go, oh my gosh, quit moralizing your emotions. She's like, wait, what? What did you just say? I said, quit moralizing your emotions. She's like, I've never heard someone before. I've never heard someone say that before. Tell me more. So we got to talking about it. This idea, this concept, this realization and awareness that I had years ago with my coach, it's like how I moralize emotions and make them good, bad, right, wrong, make them mean something about me when I have the emotion, was a game changer, a life-changing shift for me as I started to realize and recognize just how freaking often I was moralizing my emotion at the time, whatever I was feeling. Now, negative emotion is typically what most of us and what I see a lot happen with my clients, what we moralize. I shouldn't be feeling angry. I shouldn't be feeling grief still. But we can do this with positive emotions as well, where we think that we should be feeling joy and happy, because if we feel that joy, happy, positive emotion, then somehow that means that we intrinsically are better or doing well. And we do this so flippantly, right? So subconsciously, when people just will say, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? We want to say good, fine, happy, because we want them to know we are good, fine, and happy. Nothing's wrong with me. I'm not broken. I'm not completely effed up, right? So we just naturally will tell them all the good things. We're good, fine, happy. If we show up authentically and say, you know what, doing pretty lousy, feel super messed up right now, really sad, really hurt, feeling betrayed. We don't just say that, because then what does that mean about us? And I know there's more to it than just that. But today, what I want to talk about is this concept of moralizing our emotions. And this is something that, as an emotional master practitioner, I love emotions. I love teaching emotions. I love helping my clients connect to their emotions. It is my jam. And so I could talk about this for hours. Just ask my family. But I'm going to give just a brief introduction to this. So if you're like, wait, I don't completely understand, or, oh, I really like this and I want to learn more, I want to know more, then that is when I would just say, figure out a way to start working with me. Even if that's doing one of the online self-paced programs or courses, whatever I put out there, I always bring it to emotions and to those 3 pillars of self-coaching: acceptance, awareness, and agency. When we have negative emotion, we want to dive right in and fix it. What can I do, Amy, is what I hear a lot, to get rid of this emotion, grief, worry, fear, all of that negative anxiety. I want that to go away. So we go into action mode, but we have to back it up and start with awareness mode and spend some time there. I'm going to walk you through that a little bit more here in just a minute. More than anything, let me just put the punchline out there first. What I really hope that you walk away with
in this episode more than anything, because I like to offer a lot of the psychoeducation pieces and the, how this shows up somatically. I love teaching and helping you know more about your brain and body, that you can become more empowered in this for yourself. But what I hope that you walk away with more than anything is that where you're at right now, whatever emotion you feel is okay. That who you are is not your brain, not your body, and not your emotions. When you feel angry, you are not an angry person. You are not angry. That's not who you are. When you feel betrayed, you, who you are intrinsically, is not a betrayed person. That when we identify so deeply to these experiences of emotions, it can be really easy to then moralize them, where we now try to only feel positive because it means that we are good, we're doing the right things, we're on the right track, and we're enough. All those positive ways of looking at ourselves then become deeply correlated with the emotions that we're feeling. We don't want to do that. We're going to get stuck there. We're going to get frustrated there. And it certainly isn't helpful. It's not, it's certainly not empowering. It's very disempowering. One of the things that I tell my clients all the time, I'll put those four squares up. And I think I did this with y'all early on several episodes ago, but reminding yourself those four squares, here's me, my higher self, my brain, my body, and my emotions. And who I am is not this human experience, brain, body, emotions. Who I am is intrinsically enough and 100% of worth and value. What I experience here as a human does not impact that 100% in any way, does not take away from that. Nothing I do adds to it. I can't hustle my way into this enoughness because I'm already enough. What we experience here in our bodies as humans is just that, an experience. And when we get to moralizing our experience and making our emotions good, bad, right, wrong, righteous, unrighteous, whatever we want to do with that, then it can limit our potential. And it actually pulls us further away from our higher self, from this inherent knowing that we are is enough, that we don't have to be a certain way, act a certain way, look a certain way, to be lovable and to be heard, to be seen, to take up space in relationships, but in this world. When we've grown up in very systemic societies and cultures and religious cultures where we are taught very black and white, where how we show up and how we perform and what we do is very much performance-based. For example, I have boys. My girls played sports as well, but I've seen this more so with boys. It tends to play out even stronger in male sports, boys' sports. But both of my boys played baseball since they could walk. I used to joke since they were in my stomach. Both my ex-husband and I are extreme baseball freakazoids. We love baseball. Our boys just grew up baseball, and one is still playing in college right now. But their entire baseball career, I watched this play out right before my eyes, was how they performed, what they did or didn't do, determined whether they got praise, an award. When they were younger, they'd get the ball. If you get the game ball after the game, it's because you did good. But you didn't get rewarded if you did something negative. So very early on in these types of experiences, we learn if I perform correctly, then I get seen, heard, take up space, rewarded, celebrated, praised. If we don't have a balance to that, I'm not saying that that in of itself is wrong, but if there's not a balance to that happening in other areas of that person's life, that child's life, then that child grows up believing that that is all they are good for, that they need to perform good, right, perfect, enough in order to get that praise. Luckily, I've been able to give my boys outside of that enough praise in other areas of their life where I'm fairly certain they feel that who they are is not how they perform, certainly in baseball. But I see this happen so much to women as well in different areas. That's what I mean by we learn this, we grow up with this. And so it's understandable that even in how we feel as humans also gets ranked and rated and judged and made into the good, bad, right, wrong. How we feel emotions in of itself, the experience of it in your body, how it shows up in our body. It can be amazing, beautiful, and confusing and complicated and annoying and sometimes awful. They give us a wide range of experience in this life. You take that away, you take the experience of emotions away, and we don't have a way to gauge what we like, what we don't like. We don't have a way to even gauge our safety. Now, before we go even further into moralizing emotions, I just want to distinguish between our everyday emotions and then trauma-related emotions, okay? Because when you are experiencing a trauma response, fight, flight, freeze, fawn, those types of emotions associated with the trauma response, these come from your autonomic system, nervous system, and it's very involuntary in the response. So you don't choose the emotional response that comes when you have a traumatic experience happen. And that's really important to distinguish. Your body in those situations instinctively reacts to protect itself, to stay safe. They're not consciously chosen. When you are not in that traumatic situation, triggers are then going to evoke these intense emotional responses that are very much related to the sensory experience and the memory of that traumatic event when it originally occurred, not consciously decided, which is why healing is not just a cognitive behavioral therapy or thought work type of thing. It's also very somatic. And this is why I love brain spotting and why I do a lot more brain spotting with my clients as I've developed that practice as a practitioner. I'm seeing so many amazing results. We really want to get into that deep part of the brain, any type of those modalities that really help heal somatic sensory parts, the parts of the body that know about the trauma rather than the cognitive brain that knows about the trauma. We've got to do both, work around both. I don't want to go off. I'm going to totally go off on brain spotting now because I love it and it's so amazing. But whether it's an emotion from trauma or everyday emotion, that's also part of the human experience, and neither one is wrong or bad, immoral, and Christ-like, weak. They are all part of your human experience. If you walk away again with anything today, it's just take away that you are not your emotions. Who you are intrinsically are 100% of worth and value, lovable, and enough just as you are. Your human experience includes all of the human emotions. You cannot get out of it. There is nothing that you can do to get out of having this human experience. Of course, the obvious, but we're not going to go there, right? Okay, one of the stuck points that I see in those who are doing the healing work and practicing the tools, and they're noticing the difference in their lives, oftentimes their brain starts to use this work against themselves. I see this a lot in my Believing in You coaching with clients where they're learning the tools. I teach something every week and they're practicing it and learning it. Then it can turn into thoughts offered like, you should have got this down by now. You should have this figured out. Why are you still feeling pain and fear and uncomfortable? A tool to get rid of it, because we're all still even subconsciously trying to learn these things to make the pain and the discomfort and the hurt and all of those negative emotions go away. Because deep down, there's this belief that we should be happy all the time, that we should have positive, and that if we are doing all the right things, then we would be positive, happy, joyful, go lucky, nothing going wrong in our life. Then we wouldn't experience so much negative. Because when we moralize these negative emotions, and when I say negative emotion, that alone, that language alone already sets us up for thoughts of bad and wrong. When we experience negative emotion, it turns into I'm bad, I'm wrong. If I was doing more or better in some way, then maybe I wouldn't experience this pain, hurt, betrayal, whatever that negative emotion is. So rather than neither good, bad, right, wrong, they're energy. I like saying what energy is showing up in your body. Where is that showing up in your body? Let's find the experience in your body rather than what's the negative emotion, because when we hear the language to it, it's so easy for us to drop into, I'm doing something wrong. So energy that is showing up in your body is information. It's communication from your inner self, what's happening inside you, to your conscious awareness. And the energy in your physical body provides that insight into your thoughts, your needs, your reactions to the world. Every emotion holds valuable information about what is happening in your internal state. Emotions are such a natural part of every human experience that no one can outsmart, outrighteous, avoid long enough, or resist hard enough to not experience negative emotion. It doesn't work. I like to say, if someone figured out how to get through life without experiencing negative emotion, Oprah would have let us know by now. Oprah's got it all figured out, or she has the money to figure it out. And if it's going to be figured out, Oprah will figure it out. Okay, I joke, but maybe you'll recognize some of these thoughts and beliefs that might indicate you are perhaps moralizing your emotions. Maybe you notice yourself thinking, believing, or even journaling, I should be stronger and not feel this way, because emotions like fear, sadness, anger are signs of weakness maybe to you, leading to that self-criticism for experiencing them. Maybe you hear yourself thinking, feeling, journaling, feeling this anxiousness is just irrational, it's pointless. There's no reason I should be experiencing this anxiousness. Right now, we're judging the anxiety as irrational. We're trying to suppress it or ignore it, or ignore really the underlying cause there, because there's this idea of, what's the point? There's no point in this. This doesn't need to be happening, right? Okay, judgment. Or maybe you notice yourself thinking, feeling, believing, I'm not allowed to feel angry. That's wrong. I see this a lot in religious cultures. Women and men who come from a religious background where it's not Christ-like. So it's wrong. I'm not allowed to. There's this underlining belief that emotions like anger, rage are morally wrong, and we should feel guilty if we feel anger. But remember, there's a difference between feeling and experiencing in the body this emotion versus reacting to anger. I'm going to do a whole episode on anger and rage, but there is a difference between feeling and reacting, and we just need to pay attention to the difference. But feeling it is information. I actually love my anger and my rage parts, because anger is the action emotion. It tells you that something actionable is happening, needs to change. There's a boundary violation happening. It's really, really powerful, beautiful information, this part. Anyways, I digress. Maybe you notice yourself thinking, saying, believing that crying is a sign of being out of control. Gosh, if I cry, I'm out of control. If I start to leak the water out of my eyeballs, then I've crossed over the line. I'm really out of control here, because we associate crying with a lack of emotional control, which again is leading to this attempt of suppressing emotions and tears, because there's this idea that it shouldn't be there. I should always be happy and positive. That's better. Maybe you believe you're more likable, lovable, if you're happy and positive. This deep belief that negative emotions should be avoided at all costs because it means something about you. So now we have this unrealistic expectation and try to cultivate this perpetual happiness, which is impossible. Maybe there's this thought or belief that I'm a burden to others if I'm sad or depressed or anxious. And expressing this sadness, this negative emotion or this energy, it burdens other people. So I'm going to suppress or avoid because I don't want to inconvenience anybody with my emotions. Maybe you feel like I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't feel grief after all this time, after all that I know now. I know the things. Why do I still feel so bad? Again, this idea of judging ourselves for not having moved on from this trauma-related emotion. Now we feel just super impatient. We blame ourselves. What's wrong with me? I cannot tell you how many times I have clients that really want to work with me because they think, okay, you're going to help me finally get over this because I've been at this long enough. And they come into working with me already so deeply in the self-blame and judgment. It can also feel a lot safer, and I air quote safer, to moralize emotions rather than feel them, because it might not be safe in your current situation, or it hasn't been safe for you to be vulnerable with those emotions, especially the ones related to trauma. Those absolutely can make you feel very vulnerable. And so you might feel a profound sense of sadness and hurt and anger. And these emotions can make you feel vulnerable because they can remind you of the incident that caused that betrayal. So moralizing them might look like telling yourself, I shouldn't feel this way. I should be stronger. If we believe this, then it allows us to distance ourselves from that raw vulnerability of feeling all of those emotions. I don't want to be vulnerable with myself and acknowledge that that was extremely painful and it still hurts. The other reason why it feels safer to moralize them is that social expectations. It might not be acceptable in your family of origin, how you grew up, even maybe your friends that you have cultivated in your church congregation, in your partnership. You might be in these systems, in these environments where it's not acceptable to feel. It's not acceptable to show or talk about your emotions. And so we moralize them to align with the societal norm. That makes it feel safer to conform. That makes the primitive brain that needs to stay in the tribe feel really, really safe and happy. So nope, don't feel, certainly don't feel the negative emotions. And when society expects you to display strength all the time, happy all the time, and especially as women, you need to be a certain way, then we're going to do everything that we can subconsciously most of the time to align with that societal norm. You're going to feel pressure to appear anything other than happy. We don't want to misalign with other people's expectations of us. And I'm really trying to resist, by the way, going into deep attachment stuff. Like I said in the beginning, oh my gosh, you could talk about this subject for hours because there's so many nuances to this. This is so multifaceted. Well, okay, I'll just say it. Like right now, my brain's like, if you grew up always being told you're such a happy, go lucky child. I did this to my daughter. My daughter just is the sunshine. She came just lit up. There's no denying that. And I just named her my sunshine girl. But I called her my sunshine for me, honestly. And I had to do some good therapy to see that. I needed her to be my sunshine. She came at a very difficult, challenging time in my life. And yes, she always had a smile on her face. And she came that way, her personality, just always smiling, happy. And she, those of you who can see my YouTube, she would just buzz around just like, and she likes to be happy. And she heard me tell people this. I always said this, that sunshine girl was reinforced over and over and over. So guess what? If she's not sunshine, happy, go lucky girl, then that is a risk to her attachment with me or anybody else that was a primary attachment that needed her to be happy, needed her to be the sunshine, because it made me feel better. I needed her to be happy because I was struggling in my life. So notice how that absolutely played a role in her own attachment and how she saw herself. Now, I need to be happy. So guess what? If I'm not, something's wrong with me. That's how easy it is to moralize these types of emotions. Now, she does her own work and steps into that field. She can acknowledge the wound there and how that didn't give her enough autonomy to feel what she maybe authentically wanted to feel and step out of that role of needing to be the sunshine girl. I give her full permission today, but that's going to take her some time to rewire that part. Thank goodness for repair work. There I go on my tangent, but I just wanted to point that out because as we're talking about this, we're talking about moralizing our emotions. And as I'm going to invite you here in a minute to drop into more awareness about this with yourself and your life, even as you do this work with your children, as you talk to your children, we label our children. You're the happy one. You're this one. You're that one. You're this one. If we're labeling them emotionally, notice the damage that that can do as it doesn't allow permission to be any other emotion other than that. And if that has happened to you, it makes sense why you would then moralize your emotions as well. So just again, something to noodle on, something to get curious about and see how that might apply in your life. And it's okay if you don't want to look deep into it. That's book a session with me. We can dive into that a little safer, but just something to think about, right? Really interesting. Then, of course, another way to stay safe by moralizing our emotions is to avoid those painful memories. When you experience trauma and these intense emotions naturally followed the fight, flight, freeze, fawn, then that often gets associated with weak, wrong, or not healed enough. If you have those ruminating thoughts, the nightmares, and you feel intense emotions around your traumatic experience, it's not because you're doing something wrong or that there's something wrong with you. Like thinking, I can't allow myself to feel fear. It's just going to bring me right back to all of those very terrifying memories. I should be strong and not feel the fear. I should have more faith. For those of you religious people, not to say I'm not religious, but certainly not in that cultural way. I'm not faithful enough to outrighteous this fear. I shouldn't be sad about this still. It's in the past. I need to move on. If I'm sad, I'm stuck. We suppress sad to avoid painful memories, therefore not feeling it, because if I feel it, then I'm not safe. And if I'm not safe, something's wrong with me. And then all the way back to moralizing. If you feel angry, if you feel bitter, what is that overarching message as a woman that might come is, if I feel angry, I can't feel it because I will feel too angry. I can feel a little angry, but I can't get carried away with feeling too much anger. We still got to stay in the box. Maybe I can lift one lid. I'm certainly not allowed to lift all the lids. That is just not acceptable. That's too dangerous. We're moralizing it. And feeling emotion is not the same as reacting. Feeling is different from avoiding and resisting and reacting. Not feeling due to the moralization is being small. It's silencing your body and it's staying stuck. Where do we start? Where do we start practicing different? And this, again, I hear this all the time, right? We hear stuff like this and we're like, oh my gosh. And we start cognitively understanding the psychology behind it or the psychoeducation behind it. Now we're just like, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. Tell me what to do. Okay, let's slow it down. All my clients love, I'm air quoting when I say this, but we're going to slow this down. We're going to back it up because I promise this is what is actually going to help you eventually change the behavior. And we're going to get to the doing part later. But first, we want to start with awareness. So I'm going to offer you three things that you can start doing to be more aware of your emotions. First, just mindful emotions, having a check-in with yourself. Set aside a few minutes each day to check in with your feelings. Take a mindful pause, take a deep breath, and ask yourself, okay, what am I feeling right now? Not judging, I'm not shaming, I'm not blaming, I'm just being aware. What am I noticing right now? What am I feeling? We want to name it. We want to give it a name. Pull up feelingswheel.com, screenshot it. Let that be your new screensaver. We want to be able to easily access those emotions so that we can name them and be more aware of what that emotion is. When you experience trauma, you have disconnected from your body and your emotions, that brain and body and emotions disconnect, which is why we don't always know the reality of our situation. Our body is still paying attention and knows, but because of the disconnect, we don't cognitively know, which is why a lot of you are trying to find closure without full disclosure, full truth of what happened. We don't know cognitively. So we want to start with mindful emotions and having a check-in with yourself daily. I would love 3 times a day. Sometimes I'll have my clients put it in their phone, put a timer in their phone. This doesn't last long because your brain catches on and it slowly starts to ignore the timers. But put in your phone a timer of 3 times during the day. Maybe you're in the carpool line and you know that you're just sitting there. Set your timer for that time. Do a body scan. Go through top of the head all the way to body to just be aware. Not to judge, not to shame, not to fix, not to make whatever you notice go away. But interesting, I feel some anxiety and I didn't even realize because we're ignoring it. Take a deep breath. Okay, there it is. It's in my chest. I know it. I see it there. If you want to gain more awareness, number 2, write it down. Start writing down the different emotions that you notice. If you want to just jot it in your phone, great. That's why we have the feelings wheel on the phone. If you notice that you're feeling some swirling and spinning in your chest, pull up your phone. What is that today? We often tend to just go to anxiety, but I want you to look at that feelings wheel because it might be something that you're not expecting. And there's no right or wrong to this. Just look at it and see what emotion pops out to you the most. So usually I'm like, oh, I'm feeling anxious, but I look under that section of my feelings wheel and I read all of the emotions as I put my hand over the body part that I'm noticing that emotion show up at activation in my body. I'll read a word and I'll go, oh, it's truly disappointed. Oh, that's what it is. Because I can feel the connection to the word in my body that just feels more connecting than the word anxious. That's number two. You're going to drop in, you're going to name it, and you're going to feel it, you're going to connect to it, write it down. So pull the wheel up, name it, just like I walked you through there, that example. Pay attention to your body. Notice that something's going on. Where is it showing up in my body? Give it a name, name the emotion, then just, hi, I see you. I see that you're in my chest. I see that you're in my toes. Then we can move in a little bit more to acceptance. Before we can move into the foundational acceptance, you drop into that self-compassion. If I notice that there's that disappointment in my chest, I take a deep breath and I invite compassion to join me with disappointment. Of course, I would feel disappointed right now. I really thought that he would show up for his son again, and it didn't happen. I feel a lot of disappointment. Of course I would. I actually want to. I want to feel disappointed right now, because what I know about a parent and what a healthy parent does, they show up for their kid in this way. I'm okay right now feeling disappointment. Disappointment is the right emotion to feel right now because of what I just watched and what I just witnessed. That's acceptance. That's the foundational acceptance. I'm not judging myself for it. I'm not blaming the person. I'm not blaming the situation. Like, I observed a situation and how this person showed up in that situation. I'm not even giving him the power over that. It's, I want to feel disappointment because according to my values and my beliefs and my perspective, disappointment is the right feeling as I observe that situation, as I observe that circumstance. I'm really owning this emotion. That is foundational acceptance. That's what I mean by that. And then I just work on regulating that. So I will let that part be there. I don't need to make it go away. I can say, you can sit here in my chest as long as you need, because you're definitely letting me know that what I'm witnessing, what I'm watching in that situation is disappointing. And yes, there's transformational acceptance that we'll get into a little bit deeper another time. But when we start to move into the transformational, where we, okay, let me find meaning. Let me now step into choice and power. Now we're moving into agency. Now we're moving into the doing. What can I do with this? I don't want to feel disappointed all day. Well, if I've truly accepted it and allowed it to be there and there's not judgment, shame, or blame, then I can, when I'm ready, step into my agent power mode and choose what I want to do with that. I can say out loud, I am experiencing disappointment and I see that it's there. How am I benefiting right now from feeling this way? Well, it's showing me a couple different things, actually. And I'm benefiting by feeling disappointment because it is also letting me know that this person has not changed despite what they say. How is it serving me right now? It's helping me hold my boundary. And my boundary as a mom to protect my child. So it's serving me in that way. How is disappointment protecting me? Well, it's letting me know that this person is still not trustworthy. How I have been navigating this relationship is still correct. I still need to continue to navigate the relationship with the boundaries and the things that I have in place. And now that I've walked through these self-evaluating questions and I've gotten curious about this part, it's loosening up a little bit. Don't need to feel so disappointed because I can see that I actually have everything in place to stay safe. This isn't new, this disappointment. It makes sense. It happens a lot. And so I'm good. I've got things in place. I don't need to be afraid of falling back on old beliefs or old patterns. Thank you, disappointment. I can step into gratitude, maybe, that I've got great boundaries. Maybe I step into empathy. Maybe now I can lean in and show up in a very safe, secure, steady place for my child, the one who is actually the one who got injured in this situation. Now I don't need to lead my parenting with disappointment. I don't need to show up in my own disappointment and overshadow what my child is feeling. Maybe I need to actually get curious about what my child is feeling. Now that I have taken care of my emotion and I'm okay with it, I can actually get curious and hold space for whatever my child is feeling, and I can let that be separate from mine. I know I walked through that super fast. Please, please, please do not think that I do this that fast and perfectly. Yes, because I've been doing this work for a very long time. It sometimes can move fast especially when it's not tied to my own trauma. There's enough distance and space there that I can move through it a little bit quicker. Man, oh man, when this is related and linked to my own trauma, how I just played that whole scenario out might be in a week's time. Maybe it's 48 hour time. It takes time. Every situation is different. I don't judge it. I don't compare. I don't judge my goodness or healingness or whatever based on how long it takes me, because there's the moralization. And notice how quickly it can come up when we do this. I'm not going to use my work against me by saying, gosh, dang, you're a professional and you teach us all the time. You should know better. You should have figured that out a lot quicker. No, because I am a human and I am still having a human experience, and every experience is different and unique and teaches me something different. That is my growth mindset. That is something I have developed over the years, is when I do have these, I look for the opportunity to learn and see more into me around the experience. That is definitely more second nature, because I practiced so much. You have it in you as well. There's nothing missing from any one of you that you can't cultivate this within yourself as well. Where we're starting this week in your practice, what I want to offer you is to be more aware of what and when you are moralizing your emotions. I remember years ago when I started to do this, I noticed it happening at the dishwasher, loading the dishwasher. Because of how I was raised and whatever, right? No right or wrong in how I was raised this way. But my brain definitely interpreted and thought that there was a right way and a wrong way to load a dishwasher. I know many of you moms out there are yelling back going, no, there is. I get you. I totally get it. And I don't believe that anymore. Does it mean that I don't load the dishwasher a certain way or differently than other people in my household? No, I do. I load it differently. Do I make the way that I load it righter and theirs wronger? No, I don't. Do I tie how I load the dishwasher to my worth and value? No. And I used to. That's my point here, is that if that dishwasher wasn't loaded right, I was inherently wrong. Something was wrong with me that I didn't know that a dishwasher should be loaded a certain way. And something was wrong with me, intrinsically, inherently wrong with me, that I didn't do it the perfect way every single time, the right way. I was doing it wrong if it wasn't right, and therefore something was wrong with me. That moralization is what I want to invite you to get more curious around and notice how you're doing this to yourself, the impact that it's having on you, and how often do we do this? And when you step into beautiful curiosity, you can be more aware. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I had no idea how many things, how often I was moralizing. It was a big eye opener. It was a huge, huge aha wake up freaking call for me. It took me years to navigate this. So please don't think that you're going to figure this out and never do it again. I still catch myself moralizing. Can I catch myself faster now because I'm so used to noticing this part of me? Well, sure. I've made friends with this part. So we communicate a lot. And I have to remind this friend that they don't get access to the keys to the car. No, sorry. Lost those privileges. Hopefully this helps you know where to start. If you want to dive deeper into this, if you want to see more, want more tools and more ways to figure out how to stop moralizing your emotions and allow yourself to feel the emotions, then feel free to book a consult with me. Let's see where you're at. I've got multiple programs, courses online or virtually that can help you along your journey. You get to choose how you feel. It is not wrong to feel any of it, because you can. You can. You can feel all of it. In fact, you need to. You need to feel in order to heal. Feeling is healing. All the cute ways that social media can throw that out there. But it has a fun ring to it, and it is so true. I would love nothing more to continue to support you in this place. And I cannot think of a better way to either join my coaching program, because we do dive into different levels of energy that might be showing up in your body. We take a really good look. Deeper awareness into what is showing up for you. Brain spotting sessions are also amazing. Really using that modality helps get into the somatic healing when you feel like you're so up in your head and you might know all the things, but why am I feeling stuck? Brain spotting is a really beautiful way to process your stuck emotions and help you feel empowered to be in charge of these emotional experiences and respond intentionally rather than reactively. And again, outside of a trauma response, you can choose. And all we are here to do is practice, because you are the chooser in your life. And you get to create the life that you want and feel what you want, because you can. Take care, everybody. So as I said, to learn more about brain spotting, feel free to book a consultation with me, and I can help you determine if you would benefit from that modality and emotional processing and healing. You want to know if you are ready for the Believing in You group coaching membership, where you can get, oh my gosh, so much access to me, support. You get worksheets, you get tools, you get concepts, you get an opportunity to take your healing to that next level, because I'm giving you so many opportunities to take advantage of your healing in that membership. And you get a discount on brain spotting sessions. Intimacy Within is another self-paced course for those of you who want to do a little bit more of that healing on your own and on your own time. You get to choose your time frame in all of this as well. But the Intimacy Within course is so beautiful because it walks through those 7 levels. I really focus on you and turning back towards the self, towards you, and connecting with yourself again. Because of that trauma, we are so disconnected. We need to start reconnecting and taking up space and finding what we want to take up space with in ourselves. Intimacy Within will do that for you. The last thing I want to mention is those of you who are in the space of, should I stay or should I go? I have created a guide that is specifically designed to be the companion on your quest of, should I stay or should I go? Because the most important voice here is yours. This guide empowers you to listen, understand, and honor that voice with every module. And I walk you through 8 modules. Don't let fear decide your future. This guide I've created is your companion in transforming uncertainty into action and guiding you to a choice that resonates with your soul's deepest needs. Wherever you're at in your journey, here at Choose, we want to continue to encourage each and every one of you to choose recovery, to choose healing, and to choose you. Take care, everybody.